KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:05, we have cloudy skies, a few snow flurries in the air at 12 degrees above zero. We look for the flurries to be ending this morning at a high around 17. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. The Creston Police Department today said 22-year-old Kane Allen Michael Farlow of Creston was arrested Wednesday afternoon. Farlow was taken into custody in a 300 block of North Pine Street on a parole violation charge. He was being held without bond in the Union County Jail. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office Wednesday said a man was arrested on drug charges Tuesday. Authorities say 37-year-old Jason Lee Badberg was arrested after deputies executed a search warrant at 707 North Chestnut Street in Avoca. Badberg was charged with possession of a controlled substance, marijuana, third offense. On Monday, 31-year-old Brenda Boyerman and 28-year-old Leanna Ruth Walker were arrested following a traffic stop near McPherson on Highway 6 in Pott County. Boyerman was charged with child endangerment, possession of a controlled substance, marijuana, first offense, and possession of drug paraphernalia, while Walker was charged with child endangerment. A traffic stop Sunday in Avoca resulted in the arrest of 60-year-old Lee Young-Hoon Hansen from Avoca. Hansen was charged with driving while barred, habitual offender. Bond was set at $2,000. Last Friday, 36-year-old Jose Orlando Mas Jr. of Colorado Springs, Colorado, was arrested following an attempt by Council Bluffs police to stop a vehicle at the Harrah's Casino. The driver failed to yield, resulting in a pursuit. Mas Jr. was taken into custody for willful failure to stop for law enforcement and for being a fugitive from justice. His bond was set at $6,000. On February 11th, 31-year-old Matthew Mark Kurth was arrested following a traffic stop in Hancock. He was taken into custody for driving while barred, habitual offender, and on a warrant from another Iowa agency. Officials with the Glenwood Police Department said Tuesday there were no injuries reported after a vehicle struck a street sign last Friday afternoon when the driver had swerved to avoid hitting a child. The 2016 Ford F-150, driven by 29-year-old Alexander Allen Applegate of Glenwood, was traveling east on 4th Street at around 3 p.m. as he drove by a school during student pickup hours. The traffic was heavy, authorities said, with vehicles and buses. Applegate told police when a small girl ran out onto the crosswalk from behind a bus. He attempted to stop, swerved to miss the child, and in doing so, his pickup went off the road and struck a pedestrian crossing sign on the shoulder of the road. Damage to the pickup was estimated at $1,500. The City of Glenwood sign sustained about $100 damage. There were no citations issued, but Glenwood police noted Applegate was driving too fast for conditions. And no injuries were reported following a single vehicle accident late Saturday night in Glenwood near the Glenwood Resource Center. Authorities say 16-year-old Lindsay Woods of Glenwood was driving a 2006 Toyota passenger van at around 10:15 p.m. when the vehicle went out of control on Iowa Street, which was icy at the time. The van spun across the road and hit a light pole before it skidded back across the road and into the ditch. The teen admitted to authorities she was traveling too fast for road conditions. She was issued a warning for failure to maintain control. Damage to the vehicle was estimated at $5,000. The Glenwood Resource Center light poles sustained about $2,000 damage. And Glenwood police said Tuesday, 21-year-old Jonathan Eric of Glenwood was arrested for driving while barred. His cash or surety bond was set at $2,000. The Mills County Sheriff's Office Wednesday said there were two arrests over the past week and one injury accident. Taken into custody a little before 5 a.m. Saturday during a traffic stop on I-29 was 58-year-old Randolph Troy Smith of Vero Beach, Florida. Smith was arrested for OWI first offense with bond set at $1,000. On February 11th, 38-year-old Dustin Lee Harriman of Council Bluffs was arrested at the Pottawatomie County Jail on a Mills County warrant for two counts of probation violation. Harriman was being held on $10,000 bond. Thursday afternoon, vehicles driven by 57-year-old James Cooper of Farragut and 47-year-old George Severs of Malvern were westbound on Highway 34 at the intersection with 188th Street. When Cooper became distracted by his phone going off, he took his eyes off the road just long enough to check the phone, and when he looked up, he saw red lights and was unable to stop before his 2017 Chrysler hit the rear of Severs' 2014 Kia. Severs reported possible unknown injuries and was transported to the hospital by Glenwood Rescue. Elsewhere in the news, officials plan to tweak the state health department's coronavirus website later this week in order to better reflect some of the figures, especially with regard to COVID-19 test results. Kelly Garcia, director of the Iowa Department of Human Services, says Home COVID test kits are becoming more popular and cheaper. She said that at least three products are expected to become online this spring, ranging from $25 to $50, and with promising results in just minutes and in the comfort of your home. While it's certainly good news for many reasons, the expansion of testing approaches will further limit our ability, she said, to monitor all test results at an individual level. Garcia said the shift from individual tests to total tests on the website means that Iowa's overall positivity rate will align with the total test results. Governor Kim Reynolds says more vaccine is going to be made available to Iowa as of next week. The state's allotment should climb from nearly 50,000 doses a week to 62,000, an increase of 24%. And Governor Reynolds is canceling the contract for Microsoft to build a website for Iowans to schedule a COVID visit.
It quickly became apparent that integrating the many already existing registration and scheduling platforms that are used by some of our public health departments, pharmacies, as well as other vaccine providers, it would not be possible in a timely manner without significant disruption to their current systems, and we did not want to slow down the progress that we're making.
State public health officials say there are as many as 700 different providers giving vaccinations in Iowa that Microsoft would have to merge into one website.
When we really dug into what the options were and what was available and the timeline to get that done, it just didn't make sense for us to move forward, especially with the registration and scheduling component, because of all of the different providers that are tied into that right now and the systems that they had.
In addition to the 99 county public health departments in Iowa, pharmacies, hospitals, and health clinics have been given COVID shots. The state, as we mentioned a moment ago, is scheduled to receive nearly 62,000 first doses of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines next week, a 24% increase from this week's allotment. State officials are encouraging providers to quickly schedule appointments based on that higher allocation.
So we're now shifting our focus from building a different system to optimizing the overall registration and scheduling process for Iowans. And this will be done in close partnership with, again, our local public health and our vaccine providers.
Reynolds says there is an effort to train the operators who answer calls to 211.
But we want to make sure that we have it staffed appropriately, that we are helping individuals that can't utilize the technology and go online and look for an appointment.
In meantime, Iowans eligible for vaccinations are encouraged to call their local agency on aging for assistance if they're having trouble navigating online scheduling systems.
We know that barriers still remain for Iowans who are currently eligible, and we're actively determining how we can leverage existing partnerships to provide an easier alternative to online scheduling.
State officials are also encouraging county public health departments and pharmacies to schedule more vaccination on the weekend when it may be more convenient for people who cannot get to a vaccination site during the week. And that is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.